Welcome to Tribe Tips, a segment of the Tribe Talk podcast. I'm Amy Robinson, founder of Tribe of Women and host of Tribe Talk. In these mini episodes, we bring you the wisdom of women, their experience, and tips that anyone has time for and everyone needs. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to Tribe Tips. Thank you for taking a few moments out of your day to join us. We have a special guest talking about an important topic. Anne Shelley is joining us from the Northwest Arkansas Center for Sexual Assault. As a content warning to our listeners, this episode may contain triggering or sensitive material on the topic of sexual harassment and assault. Please take care in listening. You are welcome to stop listening at any time, and support is just a phone call away at 800-565-HOPE. That's 800-565-4673. Thank you for being here. Today we're going to talk about sexual assault. Yes. And most importantly, we're going to talk about how we talk about sexual assault. And Anne, I think you're going to leave us with some tips on how to do that. But of course, behind every tip, there's a story and a journey the way. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of things I'd really like to ask you about today. And the first is that the Northwest Arkansas Center for Sexual Assault used to be the Rape Crisis Center.
Correct.
And the name has changed.
Yes.
And then the other thing I'd like to talk about is you have a very interesting event that evolved over the years, and it's called It's No Joke, and it's a comedy event.
Correct.
And I think that there's a story behind that, and mm-hmm. that leads to how we talk about sexual assault today.
Great.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. Mm-hmm. I speaking of having been called the NWA Rape Crisis Center, we are now in our 35th year, and I want to acknowledge the tribe of women and men on whose shoulders we stand today, who first started this 35 years ago in living rooms in Fayetteville, Arkansas, in conjunction with the newly, at that time, formed Women's Center at the University of Arkansas. So it's really an honor to be sitting here answering that question 35 years later of how we have grown into a new name. We had been the NWA Rape Crisis Center, and certainly we were born out of that time 35 years ago when rape crisis centers were popping up all over the country as sort of a natural avenue that went away from the women's movement or out of the women's movement. Mm-hmm. I like to say that we still consider rape and sexual assault a women's issue. Mm-hmm. Sadly, though, it does happen to men. And interestingly, though, 98% of perpetrators are men. The majority of the population right now is women. So wouldn't it be great if we were just talking about an issue, yeah. something that everyone owned and cared about? Mm-hmm. So back to the answer, though. We were really blessed as a nonprofit to be helped along the way by many different people and factions. And a few years back, Molly Jensen, who's a professor at the Sam Walton Business College in Marketing, mm-hmm. she does a lot of work with trying to get business students interested in the nonprofit sector. And one of the things she does in her marketing class is allow nonprofits to come in and kind of pitch ourselves to the marketing students, and in hopes of being adopted by a team of three who will then do a marketing audit for us. And that happened to us. Mm-hmm. And we had a great team of folks who did a marketing audit and kind of polled the entire community, or much more of the community than we often get to talk to. Mm-hmm. And the most fascinating piece to me, because I had been if we can't say rape, how can we expect others? We're never changing the name kind mm-hmm. of person myself. But what we found through their great work was that there were so many people in our community who could be using our services, who would say to themselves, well, it happened when I was a child, or it happened a year ago, or I'm not sure it was really legally rape. Mm-hmm. But they themselves could be getting services to be yes. to support their healing process in the wake of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And that's when we decided to change it so that we could reach more people under that more umbrella term of Center yes. for Sexual Assault. Because we really work with Our focus is adult survivors, but that assault could have happened when that person was a child. Mm-hmm. We also do a lot of work with what we call secondary survivors, which are the loved ones of those who are assaulted.
Oh, yes.
Because they themselves are really dealing with the aftermath of sexual assault. So
yes.
I feel really proud of where we came from and the mm-hmm. name we came from, mm-hmm. but it makes so much more sense that we want to make sure everyone feels comfortable, welcome, and able to come to us if they need support.
Yes. Well, and we, when we scheduled this with you, the Harvey Weinstein scandal had not happened.
Right.
The Me Too movement had not come to bear. And I think one of the things that, you know, we really are fortunate about in the Me Too conversation is the different levels of sexual harassment and sexual
right.
assault, and you know, not feeling like we're crazy
right.
when something happens,
mm-hmm.
and so having that broader term is part of that evolution, and so that's
right.
really good. And before, one of the reasons that we brought you in was because of this very interesting way of talking about sexual assault that you came to in the form of the It's No Joke comedy
mm-hmm.
event.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, obviously we are evolving in the mm-hmm. conversation, but we're still having a hard time articulating and difficulty in talking about it. So tell us why the It's No Joke event was really important when it came to how to talk about sexual assault.
I would love to. I want to address first, mm-hmm. before I get there, though, kind of building off of something you just said,
yeah.
is I want everyone to know who's listening that he or she or they may be at a different place in your life or their life of being able to talk about it.
Yes.
So while we've seen the Me Too movement really empower people, we also see it triggering some people because
yes.
they are not at that place where they can talk.
Thank you.
And that's one of the reasons that we're here, is we can meet people wherever they are. And one of the reasons I show up for things, conversations just like this, I feel an honor and a responsibility to give voice to every single survivor, wherever he or she may be on that spectrum of ability to talk about it. One of the things that we see in what we call the rape culture in which we live,
mm-hmm.
What we mean by rape culture is a culture in which we assume every woman is going to be a victim, but we never assume or want to think that every man we know could be a perpetrator.
Right.
And we tend to then get into a conversation that victim blames, that devalues or demeans the experience of rape or sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
And even to that extent, you see so many comedians, movies, etc., where rape becomes a joke.
Yeah.
And especially I find it when it is male victims in a movie, that becomes a huge joke. And how can any man feel comfortable coming forward when they grow up in a culture which makes fun of the very fact that, you know, that you can't take seriously that a man could be assaulted?
Yes.
So we've played with that a lot, and we certainly talk about it a lot in all of the presentations that we do. How can we combat that? Well, it's kind of interesting that April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Yes.
And so, and how do we honor Sexual Assault Awareness Month? How do we bring this awareness to light? And honestly, how do we create an event for the subject we work for, that is a subject nobody really wants to talk about?
Yes.
Or if we talk about it, it's in whispers, or, you know, we might laugh at the joke, thinking we don't even know that it's we're perpetuating those same kind of rape culture
exactly.
messages.
That's so true.
So we looked around. We tried several different ways, and I'll just be honest with you. I'm a firm believer in one of my sort of role models is a woman. She passed away in the 90s, named Audre Lorde.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things of many that she kind of inspired me is that. She said there are no new ideas, only new ways of making them real and
yeah.
true in your work.
Yeah.
So we totally stole the idea
mm-hmm.
of doing some sort of stand-up comedy on April Fool's Day, which
oh,
is the
wow.
first day of April, right?
Wow.
To kick off and set the tone for that month.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we're always starting Sexual Assault Awareness Month
mm-hmm.
with some sort of way to come together provide support and honestly relief for survivors.
Yes.
A safe space to laugh and celebrate, but also support this amazingly good cause.
Yes.
So I believe it was started in by the Blue Bench, which is I would love to know the reason why that's the name of the Denver Rape Crisis and Sexual Assault Support Center. I don't know that, but in doing some research, we found that they did a stand-up show on April Fool's Day to kind of honor that.
Mm-hmm.
And we really feel like we had this great T-shirt idea that we've had for a while, where it's you and then a mustache for consent. So you mustache for consent. So we were able, through one of our awesome volunteers, Jarrett McGriff, he came up with a great design that kind of commemorates and celebrates that sense, mm-hmm. along with our It's No Joke. So it's No Joke and You Mustache for Consent, with sort of a Groucho Marx looking character.
Yeah.
So we really got lucky last year, though, when we were able to find the the comedy storytelling troupe. That's What She Said.
Oh, yes.
And so they have partnered with us last year and will again this year, mm-hmm. for our It's No Joke event. So through their storytelling, through a night of adult fun that is also free of rape jokes, and where people can come together, kick off this very important month, and really sort of honor survivors and give that message that counters rape culture and says this isn't a joke, but we can still have fun and talk about it and make this a supportive community for those who are healing from the aftermath of sexual assault.
Safe place.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So in the evolution of the conversations and where we are getting, and how do we really capture this moment? How do we not divide ourselves into kind of categories of the different types of sexual harassment and sexual assault when we're having these honest conversations? How do we keep it at this higher level of this all-encompassing rape culture? It's all included. It's mm-hmm. not, different types. How do we keep that conversation high and honest and broach those without pushing buttons and triggering people? How do we yeah. help support each other and people that are suffering?
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing is to just ask those honest questions like you just did,
mm-hmm.
and to acknowledge that we're none of us perfect at knowing what to do to support someone. If we ourselves have been or are a survivor, whether it's sexual harassment at work or rape, to not get engaged in what I call the victim Olympics or the oppression Olympics, like, oh, I can't share my story because it's not as gold medal as horrible as yours.
Yes.
That all of this is a product of a society that devalues women and refuses to look at violence and really go to the root cause. And when I say devalues women, I also know that very much harms men.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the very worst thing, the worst insult you can fling at any man to challenge his masculinity, it's to call him a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Or some variation of the derogatory terms we call women.
Yes.
So no wonder we all struggle if that is the case.
Yeah.
And in doing that, we also harm men and boys,
mm-hmm.
Because they are not able to fully be who they are for fear of some sort of violent retaliation.
Absolutely.
So all of that to say, really just approaching these conversations honestly,
mm-hmm.
and saying right up front, it may just be a very empathetic statement of, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me that, and I'm here for you. I would say that the right language to use when someone discloses a story to you has really not changed.
Yeah.
What is changing, though, is that more people are starting the conversation, and that's really wonderful. So the most important things that anyone can say, whether someone sharing a story of sexual harassment or rape or sexual assault, across the board is, I believe you.
Yes.
Number one. I believe you. That's the number one thing that there are, and all of these things counter sort of the number one tapes that start playing in that survivor's head the minute it happens, right? So I believe you. That was not your fault. This, no matter what, this is not your fault. No part of this is your fault. You are not alone. And I would say that's probably the first thing people feel is completely isolated.
Wow.
So that's, it's no surprise that that's our tagline.
Yeah.
Because you're not alone, that's the very reason that we exist and provide the services that we do. And then just some version of, I'm here for you, I'm listening. If you feel like it's something beyond your scope of the ability to help, to say, I know an agency or someone where you can, somewhere you can get support. Our hotline runs 24 hours a day. During this whole Me Too campaign, we've been posting our hotline as much as possible for anyone who's struggling with anything that comes up for them about that. But just those kind of become our four mantras, and I would ask everyone to already practice that in your head. Because when that person that you're close to or your coworker tells you that story, I guarantee you, if you haven't thought about it, you unknowingly may go to those rape culture victim blaming responses.
Yes.
Or you may go to what we're mostly trained in doing is sympathy, which is trying to put a silver lining on it. And you've lost the person then. So just, wow, I believe you. You're not alone. No part of this is your fault. And I'm so honored you would share that with me. I'll listen to whatever you want to tell me. And I'm here to help you if you want me to help you get some more support.
Wow. And that's wonderful. Thank you so much. This is exactly the conversation that needed to happen right now and will continue to need to happen.
Yes. Thank you for allowing us to have it on your blog. I really appreciate that.
Very much. Yeah. Absolutely.
You believe in tribes of women? Join the movement in our newsletter for exclusive content by going to tribeofwomen.com. Click on our podcast tab and support us through Patreon by clicking Be a Patron. Follow and rate the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and other major platforms. Then follow us for inspiration, motivation, events, and more on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter using @tribeofwomen. Thank you for being here. Please share Tribe Talk and Tribe of Women with your tribe to grow the Tribe of Women together. Until next time.